we don't talk about the countryside as much as we used to, because listener questions take us away from that. But we always try and bring it back to an environmental angle.
We're going to be doing a talk in 8th of November.
Yep.
In Flora, in Northamptonshire.
Fashion.
And it's not really. I just wanted to put that in there just to annoy Stuart a little bit.
Ronnie in Denchworth, South Oxfordshire, England, has sent us the question for us to discuss today on the People's Countryside Environmental Debate Podcast. We don't talk about the countryside as much as we used to, because listener questions take us away from that. But we always try and bring it back to an environmental angle. I'm Stuart, the Wild Man Mabbott, one of the co-hosts. And where nature is, where the environment is, you'll probably find an aspect of me there, because I try and make nature part of people's daily life in the hope that they all want to protect it. And I get paid for doing that as well. Can you believe it? Who's the co-host?
Yes, you do get paid for it, don't you? I'm William Mankler. Thanks very much for being with us. Yeah, Stuart and I, you often find Stuart and I actually stood in front of an audience talking about wildlife in everyday gardens.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing a talk in 8th of November.
Yep.
In Flora, in Northamptonshire. Who am I? I'm often find me behind a microphone like you are today, in front of an audience, just like I talked about there, alluded to, behind a camera, and often flying one of those annoying little buzzy things in the sky called a drone.
Yeah.
Taking photographs. I love taking photographs. It's my one of my passions.
Oh my God, it's a trigger word. Passion.
And it's not really. I just wanted to put that in there just to annoy Stuart a little bit. Yeah, we've got a question then from Ronnie in Denchworth, haven't we?
Yeah, and these episodes we do is therapy for William and I, because we don't really see the questions before we come on air. We just come in cold and we just explore it from the ground up, and we hope that you'll carry on thinking about this stuff and make your own conclusions. And we try and be a world-scale podcast with a local feel. And we always try and come up with actions that address what we discuss. Now, the one thing I will say is the next episode, Susie Darrington will be back. So it'll probably be a slightly longer episode. But, you know, today we're going to be focusing on Ronnie's question from Denchworth. Shall I have a read of this just for a change?
Just for a change, because, yeah, you get an opportunity to, because Susie loves reading the questions out.
Yeah. So I will say Ronnie's question. I saw parts of Charles and Camilla's coronation, and when they stood on the balcony at Buckingham Palace afterwards, both wearing their crowns, Camilla especially seemed to be waving to the gathered crowds in a very stilted and mechanical way. Is this reflecting how their reign is going to be? I did notice that. She did feel very uncomfortable, and it was almost like this mechanized arm just coming up and down.
Yes.
You know, I did see that. Now, is that moment a reflection on their reign? Well, it might be, it might not. I mean, how the hell do we know? You know?
Yeah, I'm just thinking of it. I didn't see it myself. I'm just imagining one of those Japanese cats.
Yeah, exactly that.
Japanese, is it what are they called? Makinineko, I think? Yeah, Manekineko, yeah.
But it was almost like she was waving her arm in the hope that she didn't shake the crown off. But it just, she looked so uncomfortable.
Could it have been that the crown was actually quite heavy? Just
maybe.
Seeing it from her point of view.
But I think she would look very uncomfortable. She really did.
We could start a conspiracy theory to say that the royals are actually all robots. They're not real people.
Well, yeah,
people
maybe.
Think, some people think they're lizard people in disguise.
Exactly.
Is this reflecting how their reign is going to be?
Who knows?
I mean, the reign's going to be shorter than Elizabeth's, of course.
Lizzie.
I was called a Lizzie then for a second. Yeah. Don't know. Yeah.
Something I had a realisation a couple of days ago was all this sadness that happened when Queen Elizabeth II died, and the shock the nation supposedly felt, and then Charles came on board. It just feels such a long time ago now, and it's about 18 months, maybe a year, all this, and it sort of seems irrelevant. And I think what really happened was the human race likes stability. We like things to stay the same. So a lot of that emotion that was showed was probably fear, wasn't it, losing the Queen. It was fear of change. Because now Charles is reigning, it just suddenly thought, the fact that he's now on the crown, he got the crown and is on the throne, sort of feels irrelevant to me, just a little bit like Queen Elizabeth felt a little bit irrelevant, but there was consistency. So I think no matter what he does, even if he's a good king or a bad king, we're in this habit of having a king or a monarch, and having one is better than not having one.
Yeah, it feels like a habit for me anyway. Yeah. The question I would ask is, what makes a good monarch and a bad monarch these days? I mean, I've been listening to an interesting podcast around the monarchy. I've got to Henry VI, I think, now. There's an episode, it's Charlie Higson, I think his name is, podcast, and going through every single episode about, and every episode is about one particular monarch, apart from Henry VI, which is actually split into two parts because it's just so much goes on in his reign. Mm. And the question that Charlie asks often is, the question that is the hardest to answer is, are they a good monarch or a bad monarch? What makes a good monarch? What makes a bad monarch? Yeah. You know, in the past, there was all sorts of shenanigans going on, all sorts of infighting and murders and all sort of thing. So when you think about the modern day monarchy, Elizabeth, and then even her father and his father, you know, what were they exactly? You know, what makes them a good monarch? What would make Charles a good monarch in the first place? Any idea?
Yeah, consistency, longevity, reliability.
That sounds like you're talking about a car.
It's another thing that maybe needs rethinking of how we have the social strata, the hierarchy. You know, we need a system change to live by to be more sustainable as a species, and I do wonder whether the hierarchy of our societies needs looking at. But I'm not sure an alternative would be any better, because I'm thinking of the book Lord of the Flies. You always end up with leaders, and then leader it goes to their head, and they make bad decisions, and the people lower down and suffer. No matter, you know, you look at you go into the Amazon jungle and you discover indigenous Indians that live in the jungle, maybe have hardly ever seen outsiders, but they still have this leadership thing, and it's often the male, often the man. And so I just don't know, even if you got rid of the monarchy, anything else is any better, because...
But we are a product of our evolution. That's the problem we have. Technology has given us this moment of time of us separating, slowly separating ourselves from the outside world. I mean, we like to keep our homes clean as possible and sterile and take all the life out. And we don't necessarily see ourselves as the animal that we still are. We still haven't really evolved out of the animal we were 12, maybe 50,000 years ago. We still are that animal.
Is that our problem? We have this supposed consciousness.
Yep.
Is that just an illusion? We are animals.
Yeah, I think the consciousness isn't an illusion. I think we are conscious of the world.
Is that a problem? We're conscious, but we're limited by our evolutionary stage.
We forget that we are still at a younger evolutionary stage. And we think we are far more advanced than we actually are. We have advanced in many, many ways. I mean, that's probably the part of the reason why the planet's population is so high, because we've managed diseases, for example, and that type of thing, and being able to feed people very much in a much, much wider way as well. It's going far away from your question, Ronnie.
Well, without digging into what Ronnie's motivation might have been in setting this question, or Ronnie as a person, what do you think would motivate somebody to ask that question in that way? Is there an underlying worry or concern or self-analysis going on? I mean,
yeah. Do you think
it's quite something to send that question into a podcast?
You're thinking about yourself and your own life potentially.
Yeah. There's a story behind that particular question. Is this reflecting on how the reign is going to be? It sort of feels like somebody subconsciously or subtly trying to find reassurance in some way.
Possibly, yeah. Very possibly.
This particular question, it just jumps out at me. Why that's, you know, what the story behind that process of asking that. But I looking at Camilla, I do think she does feel out of place somewhat.
Yeah, do you think that might even go back to the fact that she is the second wife of Charles?
Yeah, and you got the Diana backstory.
Yeah.
Her as a person.
Yeah, what was her upbringing like? Yeah. What was the expectations of her life, and what did she expect of herself? Yeah. Go back to this podcast I've been listening to, and the question that he asks often as well, considering how some reigns end, even Elizabeth's reign ended, how that ended.
Yeah.
Ask the question, was it all really worth it?
Yeah.
Was it really worth all the effort?
Yeah, I it's a very different world, what I'm going to say here, but I had that exactly the same thought. If you've listened to this podcast, you may remember that my main sporting interest is the sport of speedway, motorcycle racing. And there was, I'm just trying to remember, this was probably about 10 years ago at the most. And I remember there was a big individual meeting in Sheffield, and my wife and I were going to go to that. But we wanted to take the opportunity to go and see a grave of an ex-rider who was in Halifax, which isn't too far. It's a little bit awkward to get between the two, but... Anyway, I knew that he'd been buried right at the top, one of the highest points. I'd seen some photographs of the funeral, and I knew where his certain family had been stood. Anyway, we found his grave, we had a look, and he used to ride for Sheffield as well for a time. But his main team was Halifax, actually. Anyway, I stood there at his grave, and he had a lot of turmoil in his career. Name, if you want to research him, Kenny Carter. Very came from a very sort of unpleasant background. Was a notorious family in Halifax, and had a very aggressive career in racing. Unfortunately, there was a situation between him and his wife, and which is why he died in 1986. I don't really want to get into that. But anyway, I stood at his grave, and Sue, my wife, said, "Do you want a bit of time on your own?" I said, "No, it's fine." I said, "I'm here." But I said out loud, and I didn't know I was going to say this, but it's a genuine feeling. And I said, "Kenny," as if he was led there. I said, "Kenny, all that hassle in your life and you're in this hole in the ground, was it all worth it?"
Yeah.
Was it all worth it? And it took a while to get to the point. You probably wondered, William, where I was going with this.
I was listening to the story, yeah, because it's
the same thing.
I think that's the conclusion we often come to in our lives. But when it is a tumultuous life or a life that's very much in the spotlight like a monarch, You have these plans, you have these dreams, you have these things you want to achieve in your life, and I'm sure Charles has achieved for himself. He's probably, I would imagine, he's achieved things, but he still wants to achieve things.
Yeah.
Still, there's still things he wants to achieve in his future.
It'd be nice if he did it in a bit more sustainable, green way, but yeah, I'm sure he does.
Yeah, but it at the end of the day, was it all worth it? Was all that hassle really worth it in the end? You know, when, what difference have you actually really made? And do we make the difference we think we make in people's lives? I was at a birthday party recently, and the person who was party was, you know, there was lots of people saying that you know, you've given so much to me, and you've questioned things, and you've allowed me to question things as well. And but I kind of felt that it was definitely a moment of maybe he was giving, like, realizing he actually did give worth to the world. It was worth all the extra struggle and all the extra hassle, all the tumultuous good stuff and the good stuff, you know. Yeah. Is it really worth it?
Maybe. Before we started recording, we were talking about laziness, William.
Yes,
and, it's making me thinking about that conversation.
Yeah.
I was saying, we were both saying about being lazy, and I said, I often have this daily, even on a momentary basis, I'm always questioning, and am I lazy or am I unwell? But largely, I think what's going on for me is I'm in the moment, and I think actually this does not matter. This what I'm doing now is a bit meaningless.
Mm.
So that affects your motivation to do things. So maybe go and do something else.
Yep.
Or do less. You know, so yep. Just do what needs doing.
Yep.
So an action on this one, I think I didn't expect to go this direction with this question, but I think an action is just to try and find the meaning in your own life on a daily basis. You know, just take some time, just say, does this matter? Is this going to matter? On my deathbed, am I going to look back on this and am I going to be concerned about it?
Because often you won't. Yeah. And often, you know, when you have an opportunity, you know, we talked about this, I think, in the previous episode where yeah. I was doing lots of things before I went away. Yeah. And there was also a reason for that as well, because I was going away, the podcast needed yeah. to be sustained whilst I was away for about 2 weeks. And yeah. we had to squeeze a lot of work into one space. That also yeah. also meant it as well. I would also say, you know, when you get the opportunity to do something and you can do it, take the opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, grasp it with both hands and go and do it. Yeah. You never know when you'll get the opportunity to... You might never get the opportunity again. It's a bit like my cat. My cat is important to me and my wife. You know, she's part of our family and she's a very old animal now. She's going to be 21. In fact, she's 21. She was 21 at the start of this month.
Yeah.
And basically, you know, whenever I get the opportunity to spend a little bit of time with her, because I don't know when the last moment will be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. So an interesting conversation there.
Interesting twist yeah. on the conversation and interesting the way that the conversation flowed.
Yeah.
And it kind of like tapped in on conversations we've had outside of the podcast as well, yeah. which I think is always a good thing.
Yeah. And as we say, next episode, Susie Darrington is going to be back. Yep. She was an intern with us.
She'll insist on I'm reading out the question, so I'll leave
yeah.
it to her.
Yeah. And the question next one is Nigel from Blackbird Leaves in Oxford. He's back with another question. And I'm not going to say what it's about, but I know Susie's going to have an opinion on it. So join us then. I've been Stuart the Wild Man Mabbott. He's been...
William Ankler. Thanks very much for being with us.
And this has been...
The People's Countryside...
Environmental Debate...
Podcast?
Yes.